This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Chuck Anzalevich. The state of West Virginia is 155 years old this week. The Division of Culture and History says in a news release that free activities will be held Wednesday at the State Culture Center in Charleston, the Grave Creek Mound Archaeological Complex in Moundsville, and West Virginia Independence Hall in Wheeling. Festivities at the Culture Center include a birthday cake, youth activities, an interfaith prayer service, and the sale of special edition artwork from Blanco Glass. Guests at the Culture Center and Grave Creek Mound also can sign giant birthday cards, and at Independence Hall in Wheeling, a portrayer of Abraham Lincoln will read a proclamation that admitted West Virginia as a state. Coal has long powered the Ohio Valley, but it left behind a legacy of waste. Dozens of massive coal ash disposal sites. As the Trump administration changes the regulation of coal ash, the Ohio Valley Resource and partner station WFPL have analyzed new data from the region's waste sites. The analysis found that widespread evidence that coal ash sites are leaking contaminants into the surrounding groundwater. In the first of a three-part series, reporters Brittany Patterson and Ryan Van Velzer share what they found and what it might mean for nearby communities.
For decades, the Environmental Protection Agency, or the EPA, has struggled with figuring out how to regulate coal ash. But in 2015, they finalized a federal rule that required, as part of it, operators to conduct pretty extensive groundwater monitoring.
They did have to publish all of this information publicly on their websites. And the goal of that was that the public would be able to look at that information and then decide whether or not they wanted to sue for contaminating the groundwater.
Unfortunately, EPA didn't say how they wanted the data to be published. So it's in a lot of different forms, which can make it really challenging to figure out what's actually going on when you look at these tables. So we did some data analysis that helped break it down. What did we find?
What we found in Kentucky is that every single utility has coal ash disposal sites that are likely contaminating the groundwater. This first round of testing that they did was looking at contaminants that were basically the canaries in the coal mine. These are the contaminants that move fastest through the water column. And what they're seeing is that this is a ubiquitous problem among most coal ash sites in the state. Did you find something similar in West Virginia?
Yeah, in West Virginia, at least half of the sites in the state that have this monitoring have indicated that they're going to do additional rounds of testing. And in Ohio, so far, 3 out of the 11 utilities have said the same thing. So the other contaminants that we care about out of this data are things like arsenic, lead, radium. These types of chemicals are more toxic, and they can have health effects on people if they enter into groundwater.
The highest level of pollution that we've seen was in Louisville along the Ohio River, where Louisville Gas and Electric has its largest coal-fired power plant. That's Mill Creek Generating Station. And there, the data shows levels of arsenic, which is a known carcinogen, by the way, at more than 40 times higher than the national drinking water standard.
In this series, we wanted to visit some of these places to get a sense of what it's like living near these coal waste sites. In the northern panhandle of West Virginia, there is the largest coal ash disposal site in the country. It's called Little Blue Run because it's very shockingly blue. It looks like the Caribbean. It's 16 miles of shoreline, if you can imagine that. And there, I spent some time with Kurt and Debbie Havens. They've lived there for decades. Some of the anecdotes that they've collected include foul odors. Debbie's actually slept in her closet more than once because the smells get so bad. And they also have concerns about the chemicals.
Having children grow up in this area was fun, and our grandchildren. But I just, in my heart, I think, did we damage them by living here? Their health.
So advocates say these federal rules provide a backstop, sort of a baseline amount of action that has to be taken. But in March, the EPA proposed a set of changes, and they really give states and utilities far more latitude. Utilities may not even have to close a site if it's found to be leaking, if they can prove to state regulators that it isn't going to be a problem for groundwater.
There's a lot of uncertainty with the future of these rules, but one thing is clear. the initial results suggest widespread contamination. I'm Ryan Van Velzer with WFPL.
And for the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Brittany Patterson.
The Ohio Valley Resource is made possible with support from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and West Virginia Public Broadcasting. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Chuck Ann's Levitch. It's 7:49. We're expecting another sunny, hot day across West Virginia. There is a slight chance of an isolated thunderstorm late in the day. High temperatures today will be in the mid-80s to the mid-90s, but the humidity will make it feel several degrees hotter late this afternoon. For tonight, partly cloudy and muggy with lows in the mid-60s to the mid-70s. Variable cloudiness tomorrow, warm and humid with a chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms. Highs tomorrow will be in the 80s to the low 90s. West Virginia is unveiling the Senator Jennings Randolph Collection this week, featuring almost 900 boxes of correspondence, photographs, and other materials that document his long political career. A public ceremony will be held on Wednesday at the Archives and History Library at the Culture Center on the State Capitol Complex. It will feature prominent speakers, an online exhibit, a review of collection finding aid, and a small exhibit of items and dozens of photographs to view. Frank Randolph, Jennings Randolph's younger son, and Brian Randolph, the senator's grandson, will attend. A Salem, West Virginia native, Randolph spent 2.5 decades in the U.S. Senate after winning a special election in 1958. He's best known for securing passage of the 26th Amendment, which lowered the voting age from 21 to 18. Research has shown that going outside has a ton of health benefits. Increased physical activity and vitamin D levels, improved concentration, you're more likely to feel happier, and you may even heal faster. Yet Americans are spending less and less time outdoors. In a new summer series, health reporter Kara Lofton takes us to some of Appalachia's hidden gems and examines the health benefits of getting out and exploring them. In this introductory piece, she talks to a variety of experts about exercise, mental health, and nature.
A little over a decade ago, a psychologist named Richard Louv coined the term nature deficit disorder, meaning that human beings, especially children, are spending less time outdoors to the detriment of their mental and physical health. It's not an officially recognized medical disorder. But a wide variety of health professionals are embracing the idea that America's shift towards sedentary indoor lifestyles is harming our health. Nowadays, finding a group of kids playing outside together or families sitting on the front stoop is a rarity, and that's a really big deal.
Research has shown that people feel better. It improves our mood. Nature is a healer.
That's Scott Geller, a professor of psychology at Virginia Tech. For the last 50 years, he's been studying how psychology and the environment interact.
It's been shown clearly that nature, that the environment, increases subjective well-being. Now, if we're stuck behind the television indoors and we're sitting on that couch potatoes, we are missing opportunities to get up and moving. And of course, there's a health benefit to moving. And the environment naturally inspires us, once you're out there, is to keep moving.
Over at the University of Illinois at Chicago, Ross Arena is a professor of physical therapy who focuses on something called healthy living medicine.
Basically using exercise and nutrition to prevent and treat chronic disease with a much greater community focus, moving away from the hospital and more towards where people live, work, and go to school.
Arena says the health benefits of being active are not reserved for people training for marathons or gym rats.
Movement is highly beneficial. So instead of let's talk about exercise, let's talk about movement and actually thinking about three facets of that. So your steps per day, your sitting time, and then participation in a structured exercise program. And all of those are independently valuable. When you synergize them together, they're even more valuable.
And the easiest way to do that, he says, is just go outside. Walk around your block, do yoga on the back porch, visit the local park, and bring the whole family.
Like a lot of behaviors, you know, what you practice within the family is it tends to be what happens.
Earl Chambers is a researcher at the Albert Einstein College of Medicine.
So your dietary choices are reflective of whoever is the one making the meals in your home, and it's the same thing with activity. If you don't live in a family that is particularly active, then you tend to not be as active too.
Familial inactivity has resulted in an all-time high of childhood obesity, diabetes, hypertension, and asthma. Despite a myriad of outdoor recreation resources, Appalachia in particular has shockingly high numbers of these disorders, and so far, they're continuing to rise. For researcher Peter Thanos, getting outside and exercising could be a tool for preventing and treating addiction.
Chronic aerobic exercise had an impact on brain chemistry in a way that is consistent with what we know in terms of decreasing vulnerability for drug abuse. And this was something that was very, very profound.
Thanos is talking about research published last month in the online journal of the American College of Sports Medicine.
Because aerobic exercise has this effect at essentially restoring the balance of these brain chemicals, D1 and D2, in the brain, those same that same imbalance is what also is found in individuals who have either a vulnerability or a dependency for opioids and other drugs.
Basically, the experts agree. Getting outside, being active, and enjoying nature are all hugely beneficial to human health. So this summer, I'm heading into nature and invite you to come along as we find hidden gems, hiking favorites, and rivers worth exploring outside in Appalachia. For Appalachia Health News, I'm Kara Lofton.
In this summer series, we'll talk about where to go, ways to get your family involved, how to protect yourself from ticks and sunburn, and really cool initiatives working to help people like you access the outdoor spaces. If you have ideas for hidden gems you'd like to share, please email us at klofton@wvpublic.org. Appalachia Health News is a project of West Virginia Public Broadcasting with support from Marshall Health, Charleston Area Medical Center, and WVU Medicine. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Glynis Board. I'm Chuck Anzalevich.